And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry. I am Dr. T, one of your hosts. Our program airs every Thursday night, 6 to 6:30, both at this station as well as 91.7 WAPB in Madison, Florida. You can also follow us on the web by going to truthtowellness.com. That again is truthtowellness.com. And if you go to the radio program, you can see both Season 2 and Season 3, which is where we are right now. And you can see the previous programs as well as the programs playing right now. Last few weeks, we had Pastor Howard talk to us about the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, and other different discussions. And we will actually have Pastor Howard back to talk more about the Holy Spirit gifts to us and some more topics. Nonetheless, I feel that very often it is necessary to also bring in other topics that may fit in with what we are already looking at. Remember when we started this program, one of the things that I said is the reason why I started it is I want to see a way of bringing in the different aspects of overseas Christianity. One of those major differences that I have come across is that overseas, the Lord and Lord Jesus and what He means to us is much more personable, much more closer. And you can say that that is because of them not having the freedom, and that may be correct. But I think it's also related to how they see the Lord and how they perceive Him. Very often when we don't have any challenges and we don't have anything to sharpen our faith, we start to lose and we start going back into really religiosity. But the Bible also calls the law. So this time I'm going to talk about what it means to be a part of a new covenant as opposed to the old law covenant, why this happens, and how does our Christian faith compare to the legal teachings of the Old Testament. I really want to touch on that because I think that's critical in understanding the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to first play a song here to just get us all be thinking about the Word of God and music, and then we will dive in into the Word. And this may in fact be a multi-part series, but nonetheless, we will start with it today.
What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise, and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if His people prayed, and those who bear His name would only seek His face, yeah, and turn from their up to lead the way? Then maybe kids in school could pray and unborn children see light of day. What if the life that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? What if His people prayed, turned from their own ways? He said that they would hear. His promise has been made. He answered loud and clear. Yeah. If only we would.
one thing, one aspect of this song that I really love is that it reminds us how important prayer is. And I think whenever we study the Word of God, we need to do so with prayerful hearts. It is too easy to change the Word and make it suitable to us. And I have to admit, when I was first looking at the topic I'm going to talk about today, about what it means to have grace and law, I have to admit I was wrong. I was converted when I was 14. I had some Bible training early on, and then I went and got my PhD in a non-biblical field. But I have to admit that I, for the longest of time, I was actually being legalistic, and I didn't even realize it. And when I say legalistic, I'm talking about looking at my deeds and being proud of being a person who has not done wrong things, who has not been running around with ladies, and who has said held the Word in high esteem. And it's almost a kind of a patch of pride that you wear. But you know, that too is legalism. And it took me some time, it took me some trials that I went through to realize that, you know, maybe I have this wrong. And when I went overseas with many different travels, I have been across the Atlantic over 100 times. I stopped counting at 100. I crossed the Pacific, I don't know how many times. But I can tell you one thing, and that is it's very, very easy when you go overseas to see God move, to see the closeness, to see the relationship that Christians have there and to enjoy it. It's harder to understand what is the difference. How is it different from what we have here? Because I have to tell you, we don't seem to have that kind of relationship here. I mean, I don't want to put us down. I don't want to say that we are bad, this and that. No, I think we're not challenged enough. But the fact is, when I go overseas, I see a level of faith, a level of sacrifice, a level of dedication that we just don't have here. So when we talk about the law and grace, I want to start with the scripture in Matthew 5, 17 and 18, where Jesus said, "Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot and one title will by no means pass from the law until it is all fulfilled." Now, this was in response to the Pharisees accusing him of abolishing the law. And that's the first thing I started thinking. Why were the Pharisees accusing our Lord of abolishing the law? What was it about how he walked on this earth? What was it about how he preached? What was it about how he touched the people around him that would make the Pharisees accuse him of abolishing the law? I think that it is very easy for us to just ascertain certain values from our current Christian walk and just assign them, but it doesn't always fit. You can see that Jesus went and he was accused of being with sinners and publicans. He was accused of being a friend of prostitutes. And you know, today, so somebody who has credentials, if I was to go in downtown and make a lot of friends with people who are homeless and prostitutes and drug dealers, I'm not sure how our Christian community, how our fellow pastors will relate to that. I think it's very important for us to understand that maybe in some ways we are not so different, especially here in the U.S. We are not so different as we like to think that we are. And we can see that from the statement that Jesus said here that he is the fulfillment of the law. I will talk about this a little bit later when we talk about the new covenant. But it says in the Bible, in Hebrews 10:4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin." So why did God have that instituted? Why was there a law? Well, generally, if there is no law, we don't know if you're making a mistake or not. For us, it is even easier to understand this today than it was for people then. Imagine you're driving down the city street or highway, And if there is no sign that says what the speed limit is, then you're not really going to be breaking any law if there is no speed limit. If there is no speed limit, then I can drive 200 miles an hour. I'm not breaking any laws. That is if my car will do it. However, that doesn't mean it's safe to do that. That doesn't mean it's wise to do it. It just means I'm not breaking the law. So the law serves to delineate or to put down what is the line, what is the limit of action that is acceptable. Also, it says that not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the Most High place, once for all, having obtained internal redemption. That's Hebrews 9:12. What does this mean? He came in with his own sacrifice. The only sacrifice that was able to actually buy us out. And why this is because it's a principle of substitution. You see, when we have committed sin, when we have broken the God's law, then there is really nothing that we can do to buy ourselves out because we are not worthy. We are not good enough, if you want to use that term. But when he came, he who was perfect, he who was and is innocent, he who is the best in every way, and he died like a sinner for our sins. But he really didn't commit any sins. He didn't commit any mistakes, and yet he died like a sinner. Now, anybody who believes in him, by default, can rely on that blood, can rely on his sacrifice to get in. It's a simple principle of substitution. Now, I have heard many people talk and perhaps make fun of grace and what Jesus did and prefer the law. And they would usually say something along the lines of, oh yes, the people who believe in grace, they believe we can now do anything and get away with it. And that is actually not true at all for any of the speakers I heard. It's definitely not biblical. If you touch a hot stove, you're going to be burned. The commandments that God gave, he gave them for a reason. If you drive too fast on a highway, in terms of physical world that's around us, you are more likely to get into an accident and you will eventually get into issues, whether there is a law or not. So it is not a matter of us going and living in a way that's not appropriate. However, those people often like the aspect of the law that if I do A, B, C, D, and I know I didn't cross the lines, then I don't have to worry about it. Law is essentially a set of rules that does not allow for or requires a relationship. And as such, this is one of the main reasons it fails. And so it fails because it is one set on the outside. It looks at the person from the outside. It doesn't look at the motives. And the second reason it fails is it's all about us. And we already know we're weak. And if we were able to deliver ourselves, then Jesus would not need die. So this is why Jesus came to set up a different law structure, the one that is based on grace. The one where he says, and I will quote from Hebrews 8:10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." What he talks about here is really internalizing the law. As long as somebody tells you, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do that, there is a part of us that it triggers, and even more, we want to do the very things we're not supposed to. But when it's written on your heart, when it's something you don't want to do, then really there is no need for external enforcement. This is why nobody can be saved by law. And we see this from Romans 3:19 and 20. Now we know that whatsoever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. That's again Romans 3:19 and 20. Now you may say, well, what does this have to do with me? Actually, I have found with my continued time here in North America, I grew up in Canada and I have been living down here in US for I don't know how long. And I found that actually we have a lot more legalism than we really like to admit. Many things in our churches and how they're brought up make us very legalistic. You know, when you go to church and they say that you need to give money and it shall be given to you, it's still law. It still focuses on our deeds and what we do. In fact, you can see that even Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and you have omitted the heavier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. This ought you have done, and not leave the other undone." See, this is an example where many of us hear on a daily basis different preachers saying, you know, if you invest here, God is going to bless you. If you do this, you're going to, you know, have this reward. We see very often in churches where we preach about doing good. The New Testament is not necessarily against doing good. In fact, we are meant to do it, but we're meant to do it as a byproduct of a relationship with Christ, not as the focus in itself. So you see, if you take a look at it very carefully, you will see that we are, in fact, very much under legalism. And many of our churches are focused at us, at our deeds, at what we can do better, and how we can live better. That is the basis of many other religions and many other churches. But that is not the basis of Christianity. Why? Because he already paid it all. And if we live as if that is the basis, we essentially disqualify or remove any effect of what Jesus did. Because after all, if we can do it on our own, why would he need to have died? So this is something to think about. I'm going to play a song for you that comes from Serbia, that was made by a pastor of a teen challenge church, a church that mostly is comprised of drug dealers and people who used to live on the streets. And even the pastor, I believe, was one of them at one time, and now it's a fairly big church over in one of the cities in Serbia. And he put a song together, and let's listen to it here and enjoy it. Thank you. This pastor actually has an album of about 13 songs, and this is one of the songs. And every so often we will play different songs from different regions, at two reasons: to give you a taste and exposure of their worship music, but also to give occasional a person who may understand those words kind of a teaser as to what this program is about. Now, what I want to do is continue in our examination of grace and law, which is what we're talking about today. And to do so, I want to touch on what is the root of the law and where the law comes from. Because we know that Paul says that law is good, however, being good, it causes death in him. And that comes again from a person who has been a Pharisee, who has followed the law and obeyed it completely. He was, as he said once, blameless as per the Pharisaic tradition. And we can find this in Matthew 22, 37 to 40, where it says, Jesus said unto him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus said something that was very interesting. He said, On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Notice what he said. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What are the two commandments? One is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the other one is, you shall love thy neighbor as yourself. Now, I find it very interesting that in most cases, the law is very specific. Do this, don't do this, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Then if you go into Numbers, you will see all sorts of rules about what to do and how to live. But yet we see here what Jesus is talking about is really not about doing anything. He's talking about loving. The base of all of the law is love. The base here is love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. It's not about doing anything. It's about loving. And then Jesus goes on and says, and this too, hang all the law and the prophets. Now, this is the end of our time, so I'm going to continue part two next time and next episode, and we will go further into what the law is and what it is that's expected of us today. As we finish this episode, consider where your relationship is with God. Is it just a bunch of rules, traditions? Is it a habit? Is going to church just a habit? Or is it something that's a lot deeper than that, a relationship? God bless you all.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.